Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Maureen Sager, and she's the Executive Director of the Alliance for Creative Economy. And I read about Maureen in the Times Union, and what she has to say is really interesting. So thank you, Maureen, for being on the show. Exactly what does your organization do?
Sure. The Alliance for the Creative Economy, and we refer to ourselves as ACE, talks about the importance of creative businesses to the economic vitality of this region. So we talk in terms of jobs and earnings for these creative businesses. And we found out when we were doing the research that the creative economy is the fourth largest employment sector in the capital region. It's bigger than the construction industry and bigger than higher ed. We employ 35,000 people, which is just an amazing thing.
Now, most of the people who are in this creative economy have created their own little niche. Can you describe to me what people are doing as far as, you know, creating their own way of life and their own little economy? What are they doing? Are they freelance writing or what? Exactly what?
Yeah, they're doing all sorts of things. Just the numbers behind that are 16,000 people are creative freelancers up here. So they're doing any number of things. They are freelance writers, podcasters, designers. Because nowadays, not everybody needs a full-time graphic designer on staff, but you do need graphic work for almost everything that you do, no matter what line of work, you know, what your business does. So graphic designers are working freelance in a very big way. There's also people who are doing handmade products, who are doing digital game design. All of this being done on a freelance basis. So this is a great place to do that. We have really affordable cost of living here, and we have lots of people who are sharing their jobs and opportunities with each other. So we're really quite collaborative, I think.
So for somebody that has a little niche or a little talent and they create something, from the creation to the distribution, what do people do? How do they get their ideas and products out there?
I think from the people that I've spoken to or heard about, they start with a great love for something creative. Like, let's take the craft brewing industry, which has exploded up here, right?
Right.
You'll talk to any one of these brewers, and they'll say, I just loved beer, you know, that, and they decided to learn how it was made and to learn how to source their own materials. And they often work with other brewers, and they collaborated with them. They don't see each other as competitors. They see each other as people who really share a love for beer. So they have helped each other create their own businesses, create their own niche, and they've received tax, you know, incentives along the way or investment from the governor, and lots of ways that you can see how it goes from just a great love of a thing, like perhaps your love of podcasting or communicating. It can find its way into becoming a business. And I think that they're now becoming big employers and, you know, finding great success. But it started with one person with a dream and kind of a great love of creative products.
Now, I had read about you in the Times Union. There was an editorial about Amazon and the fact that you had said that people who might not be happy with Queens and Long Island City because of Amazon would come up to the Capital District to live and to work. but I thought of two things as I was reading it. The first is Amazon is not a given. It might not happen. So
if
it doesn't happen, then the concept of people from Queens moving up here is kind of like a moot argument, wouldn't you say?
I wouldn't say. I'd only push back because I'm one of those people who moved up here because I was priced out of Brooklyn. I moved up 14 years ago and when I had two little kids and was trying to find a place to raise them or an affordable way to do so, and I couldn't do that in the city. People, that is an amazingly difficult prospect to sort of have a dream and try to get yourself launched in a city that has become progressively more expensive. So it is a great place to be, and it is one of the world's cultural centers and economic centers. But we have a great counter argument to that, which is if that prospect for you at that time in your life is not working, don't move to another state. Stay in the state of New York because we have a broad array of opportunities. This being a great place for someone who is looking to start their own business or to raise a family or buy their first house, which I couldn't do in the city. I did that up here. We have a way, New York State has that kind of broad array of opportunities. And so that's why I think it's an opportunity, is just to talk more about the upstate businesses and what we've got, you know, and what's going on up here, that a lot of people are finding themselves moving up here to start their own businesses. I think it's a great place to do so.
I'm glad
and
you
I don't
mentioned
think it
hinders... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I don't think it hinges on the Amazon argument. I just think that gave us just a one-time, a rallying cry for the moment. But I think the conditions underneath that remain true, whether Amazon is coming or not. I think that it's still true. This is a great place for those people who find themselves moving on from the city or wanting to open their own businesses.
I'm glad you mentioned out of state, because a lot of people, they say, well, I'm pretty disgusted with New York and I'm going to move to Florida or North Carolina or Arizona. Do you find that a lot of people are happy in New York State?
I think I can speak for those in the creative economy and those people who are in this 8-county capital region, because those are the people I talk to most. And I think that all of us love the array of cities that we have. We're all really attached to whatever one we find ourselves in. Like Troy, people love Troy. I'm a Saratogian, and people love their places. These are fantastic, vibrant cities that are still affordable, where you can find office space or shared space. Glens Falls is booming. Catskill is booming. Hudson has its own economy there. They have that Amtrak stop that brings up tons of New Yorkers. Albany has pockets of new businesses that are just thrilling, and Schenectady too. So we have a place for everybody here. It's like all of the neighborhoods of New York, right? We have that kind of array of offerings here. So I think that people are really happy here. I don't think that we are able or have told that story very well to the rest of the world, but I think that people are thrilled with this place. They move up and are shocked, and that comes from everybody. From Elizabeth Sobel, who's the new director of SPAC, when she moved up, she said she was absolutely shocked by everything we had up here. And I hear that story time and time again. So I find that people are very happy, the ones who have discovered this place. I just think we should tell more people about it.
So what was written about in the Times Union about the fact that people who might get disgusted in Queens will move here, but Do you think that it's possible that if Amazon does not come into New York, that there will be less of a migration upstate than you originally anticipated?
I think that there's the numbers show that almost as many people move out of New York as move in, right? There's a churn. There's sort of a churning that the city has where you go in, you find your way there, and if it works for you, your career takes place there. But at some point, a lot of people do leave, and they're replaced by someone new, right? Like, that isn't a crisis that the city faces. It's just the affordability crisis that they face there. I love New York. I wasn't looking to leave. I just couldn't afford to find a place to raise two kids. So I think that that's going to always be true of New York, and I think it's always going to be to our advantage here that you can bring your dream or your next stage of life to upstate New York and have a really successful time of it rather than feeling constantly priced out or stressed out about your situation. I think it offers a really a new lease on life. And I don't think that that the other places where we look, like Vermont or Massachusetts or New Jersey, none of those offered the vibrancy that I found here in the capital region. I looked everywhere. I preferred it here.
As you know, as you could see that I cover a lot of state issues, and I speak to legislators from different parts of the state. And what I've come to realize is that downstate representatives tend to be five-borough centric. In other words, everything that goes on, any activities or festivities, is usually done like in Manhattan and Queens and stuff. And not much is really done up here. So how do you change that? How do you change the paradigm from being New York City centric to Capital District?
Yeah, I think that one of the things that we're working on and have been talking to people, literally like thousands of people over the last couple of years, to start this idea of what do we have here? Like, what's our authentic offering? And the project I work for is teaming with CEG, which is the Center for Economic Growth, and Finger Paint Marketing, which is in Saratoga, employs hundreds of people across the country, and Overit Media, which is based in Albany. They're a really amazing marketing firm and media firm. We're all working together to create a regional brand and say, this is who we are. This is what we want to tell people about this place. And we also want to use that to have the people who live here feel good about the place where they're living. We just haven't really articulated it yet as to why this is a great place. Like, you have to sum it up. You have to get a logo. You have to tagline. You have to be able to communicate it better to the outside world. So I think that's what we're looking to – I know that's what we're looking to do, but to be able to tell the people – to sell it to the people here and say, look, you should feel good about this place. And then to be able to communicate that to the five boroughs, to other places, and say, this is the opportunity, the unique opportunity that we see from upstate New York. I think it's on us to tell the story. I don't think it's that we have to change New Yorkers or the way they look at themselves. New York's a very egocentric place as well. It should be, right? It's a great place, but I think that we can use some of that same swagger up here that the city talks about itself with. I think we need a little of that.
So when you talk about migration, you had mentioned the migration from New York City and Queens up to the capital area, but do you find there's a migration from like the western part of the state, like Buffalo, Utica, Rome, into the Capital District, or is the migration usually from downstate up here?
This is just anecdotal. I don't have any statistical data behind it at all, but I would say that it's mostly from downstate. Then again, I'm only talking about the creative industries. That's what I can speak to. So I think that probably that's a reflection of the fact that New York has a very strong creative economy. And so they would be people, so the people we see here and that I talk to are mostly from down, if they've come from anywhere else, they've come from downstate. I can't even think of any instances where someone was moving from the western part of the state. There's just, it seems to be very much tied to the creative economy that we're bringing people up from the city.
So would you say that your organization evolved because of downsizing of corporations and businesses moving out of New York and out of the United States?
Oh, gee, it didn't start there. We started just because we thought there were a bunch of investors, and about 5 years, 5 or 6 years ago, we had a research project done that wanted to talk about, to discover what was the size of the creative economy here. We were just shocked when we saw what a strong creative economy we had, because we just didn't have any information on that. I think that the creative economy is a great reaction to those businesses that I think that there's a new kind of economic development that we can pursue, which is for very small companies. And like the largest companies in the creative economy are 200 people, or that's the biggest, and they go down in size from there. So it's not those kind of big pitches with billion-dollar investments like Amazon or Global Foundries or any those kind of investments. It's not that those are bad. It's just that those are quite different than you see for the creative economy. Those are very small businesses, but those businesses aren't going anywhere, right? Like, they're staying and growing the places where they are. So it's a much different kind of economic development prospect. We're not going to ship those jobs overseas because all of the founder and the owner live in the very town where they have their business. It's a much more stable and inexpensive type of economic development for the creative economy.
So if somebody has an idea that they want to execute and start their own business or start a new initiative, how can they reach out to you?
I would really encourage them to come to our Creative Economy Mixer events. They're on the first Wednesday of every month. They're in a different county every month. They're free, and they're filled with hundreds, like 250 people just like themselves who are in the creative industries or are interested in talking to others and finding out what they're doing. So these free events, you can find them at upstateace.org or Google Upstate, the Alliance for the Creative Economy. But that's a great place to find not just me, but hundreds of other people who are starting their own businesses or working at places that are great creative companies. So that's a great place to find people. They're really terrifically fun events, but for someone who might not know where to start, I'd say that that's a good place to start. Just come out and meet other people who are already doing it. Because there are people with very solid and super interesting careers who are doing quite well here. So that's where I would start. That would be my advice.
Okay. So, again, can you give a website, an email address or something where people who might be interested in reaching out to you and your organization to get involved? How, you know, can you give out some information about contact?
Sure. I would say use Google, because there's lots of ways you can find us through there. I would Google Alliance for the Creative Economy, or if you want a URL, I would say that upstateace.org is a good place, a good way to find us. But Google works. You can find us that way.
Great. So you know what, Maureen?
What's
I'm going to come to your next. I'm going to come to your next mixer. This sounds like a lot of fun.
They really
so
are. I'm so glad you'll be there. They're great. You still find other podcasters. You'll find other people who are doing similar things to you. So I love doing them. And I think we're on about our 25th event. They've been going on for a long time, and they've been getting bigger as we go. So you'll meet lots of creative companies and organizations.
Great. So you've been listening to Maureen Sager, and she's the executive director for the Alliance for the Creative Economy. So if you like the show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about the show, hashtag Focus on Albany. Maureen, thank you so much. This has been a pleasure talking to you. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day. Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you, Cynthia. So much fun.